Okay, my message today, the Lord wanted me to let you know that you're here for a purpose this morning. You were divinely led more than what you realize. And I want to share something with you. The Lord started speaking to me this here. It's been about 3 or 4 weeks ago He started speaking to me about it. But I don't know about you, but in the natural, there's an unrest that's going on. And not only in the world, but also in the body of Christ. And so the Lord started speaking to me, and then He woke me up, and He focused me on 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So let's go there, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want to share something with you that I said, Lord, should I be that bold? And He said, yes, you be that bold. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, He said, you be this bold. And so I said, okay. And so so He took me to this place in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's go to verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Well, actually, the word gifts here in the Greek, it says now concerning spiritual matters. Spiritual matters, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, when He says that, no one can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit, a lot of people don't understand that statement. They usually take it for the meaning general of everything when people call Jesus Lord. What He was talking about is a manifestation of the gifts in the body. Are you following me? That's what He was referring to on that particular subject right there. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in ministries, but the same Lord. And there are adversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the what? Profit of all. The word prophet literally is a very interesting word, but to really sum it up to where it would be real edifying for you is it means to your advantage. What gives you an advantage? What would cause you to prosper out of it? He says, for to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another a word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Now we're going to stop there. Notice the two gifts that He speaks about. He speaks about giving a word of what? Knowledge, and a word of wisdom. And so when I was standing before the Lord and He began to show me the insights of certain things that I had taught in the past, most of you that attend Wednesday night, you probably remember when we taught on fear and how if you don't understand how the word is rightly divided with that word fear, it can be very confusing. And so we did a series called Understanding Biblical Fear. And some of you might have been present because there was quite a few at that time. So evidently a lot of you here were here when we did that particular series. And if you really look at Scripture, it can be very confusing, that word fear, unless you understand the text in which it's used and the background of what the meanings of that word fear. And so this morning, the Lord wanted me to encourage you that this morning you're going to receive a word of knowledge by this message, and you're going to receive a word of wisdom from this message. In other words, you're not only going to receive some understanding of why the message, but the wisdom through which you can carry the message through. And that's what a word of knowledge and then a word of wisdom is how to handle the understanding of the word that you received. So first of all, with that thought in mind, let's go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Boy, I actually didn't even want to get up here and deliver a message, but the Lord said, you better. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Praise God. In Romans chapter 13, remember when we did the teaching on the renewing of the mind? How the mind has to be changed in the way that it thinks, and we covered that series quite a few times. And one of the things that we learned, that literally the renewing of the mind does not begin at verse 1 and end at verse 3. Really, the renewing of the mind begins at verse 1 and ends at chapter 14, verse about 7. And that's where Paul not only said how important it is for us to change the way that we think, but he also pinned up the target downrange for us to shoot at. And that's what he did when he started at verse 1 and then went through what it means to have your mind changed by the way that it thinks, and here's what it looks like. And he went in and gave a series of what a renewed mind looks like. And thank God for that revelation, because now I can pretty well determine the fruits of a believer in the area of how he's renewing his mind, because I have scripture that tells me what a renewed mind performs and takes action and does. And that's not so that I can judge people because they're not doing what a renewed mind. It gives me insight as a pastor, especially to the things that I have to share with you, because I have to give an account to what I put in your soul. Amen. And so I have to be very, very fearful of that, but it's the right kind of fear. In Romans chapter 13, look at verse 7. The first time I read this verse, it kind of threw me off because I didn't understand the concepts of the fears that the Bible speaks of. It says here, render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Custom to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. And honor to whom honor. Wow. When I first read that verse, I went, fear to whom fear? You mean I'm to fear who I should fear? That's what I thought right away. And I said, what's that? And so I went into a little divulging in this in the Greek. And the thing that really caught me was the tense. This is where the tense is understanding the language is beautiful. He says, and I'm going to read it to you as the way the tense should have been worded. Render therefore to all their dues. Taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs are due, and fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. And so, is due, meaning to complete each phase. Now, fear to whom fear is due. Now, we understand from the teaching that we've done in the past that there is a fear that comes from man, and there's a fear that comes from God. And if you understand them in Scripture, contextually correct, then we have what we call an advantage to avoid having a fearful mind. And we are living right now in vanity of many people's thinking. They are fearing, and they are fearful, because they don't know who's going to go into the presidential office. We don't know what's going to happen afterwards. People, wouldn't it be nice if we could say our vote, once it's made, will be the answer for the dilemma? Well, many of you, I hope you all voted, and you voted by platform and not by person. But listen, you're in a position that it doesn't matter who gets into the office. You're still in that position called an inheritor of the salvation that God has provided for us during this time frame. And so we might be disappointed that the wrong person gets in there, or we might be overjoyed that the right person got in there. But really, our faith has to have its roots in the kingdom. Yes. of heaven. Yeah. That is what's got to govern our thinking, not fear of man. Now, with that understanding, we understand, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 18, that people who are not born again, born from above, truly not born again, they have no fear of God. And that word for fear there literally means a fear of the judgments of God. Matter of fact, when I was reading about, oh, the judgments of God, they're past the ways of finding out. Well, when you understand that in the text, he wasn't saying that the church doesn't understand the judgments of God. He was saying man does not understand the judgments of God. But we can understand the judgments of God. And I'm going to tell you what, the judgments of God are predicated on the love of God. And see, and that the world does not understand, because when they look at the judgments of God, they look at it as a finality to destroy or to do away with. And that's not necessarily the motivation that God has for his judgments. That's why the natural man cannot understand the judgments of God. They're past his ways of finding out. Amen. And so we are living in a very difficult time. And even though it's difficult, the time is difficult, the thing that is so important is that you get the mind of the Lord on anything, especially on your voting. And be conscious of the Holy Spirit in your life to whom to vote for. And there's where the Christians will find their strength, is if we all get the mind of Christ on the situation. Because he knows what the best one is in office for. Amen. But how do you determine that from a natural viewpoint? I usually determine, predicated on the platform for which each candidate stands in front of. Because they're asking you to get on the same platform with them. Right. And I'm not going to stand on the platform, anybody's platform that violates the Word of God. Right. I'm not going to do that. Hallelujah. But my confidence is in the fact that my vote does count, in the fact that I made the vote. Amen. And when I make that vote, I'm not voting for just that particular person. I'm voting for what that person represents. Amen. And I'm sorry, I'm for life. I'm not for death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now notice in Romans chapter 13, verse 7, fear to whom fear is due. Now, what would really help us to understand is the different meanings to the word fear. So pay attention to me right now. Fear. Let's look at the fear that means that which is caused by the intimidation of their adversaries and circumstances. That is one kind of fear that the Bible declares. A fear which is caused by the intimidation of their adversaries and circumstances. Now, when you have that kind of fear, that orders a certain way of thinking. Right. And there's where a lot of us have to be very careful, because we can actually order up a form of thinking that is vain in its imagination. I've had some people come to me and said, I know what's going on, and they start telling me things, and I look at it, and I marvel that it would be coming out of their mouth. And I said, where did you get this from? The internet. You got it from the internet? Yes. What does the Bible have to say about that? No, I didn't get it out of the Bible. I got it on the internet. And I said, that's where we stopped the conversation. I don't know if you ever saw that commercial where this gal is talking to this guy on the phone, and he's twixing, and she says, I'm waiting for my date. And he says, oh, how'd you meet him? Off the internet. Oh, you believe everything the internet has to say? How many remember that commercial? And she says, well, sure. And then he says, well, are you sure that that's the right thing to do? And all of a sudden this guy walks up. He looks like a toad. I mean, she said, here he is. He's my Frenchman or something like that. And he goes, well, bonjour. And they walk off together. As if the internet is extremely accurate. You know, so you can't believe everything off the internet. But you know, praise God, a lie will always come to the surface. You know, it'll always come to the surface. Praise God. And so somebody gets on the internet and starts saying all these things, and we sit there and we start reading it. And if we put our mind to that, that'll cause a fear to grow in your heart. You'll start believing things that, how do you know they're true? I'll tell you what, the only truth that I think that we need to be careful of is, what kind of fear are we motivated by? Are we motivated by the fear of that vanity of thinking? Or are we motivated by the fear the Bible tells us we're to have? All right. Fear. The wrong kind is that which is caused by intimidation of their adversaries and circumstances. But you have a fear of circumstances, you know what you'll do? You'll take offense. Offense is the trap that seals up the way you think. Then there's what we call the reverential fear. And now let me give you the meaning to this one. Very good. Not a fear. They don't have that fear of intimidation of their adversaries or circumstances, but their fear is the fear of His righteous retribution, but a wholesome dread of displeasing Him. Right. You want me to say that again? Their reverential fear. When you say a person has a reverential fear, it's not a fear of His righteous retribution. In other words, what He could do to me to destroy me if I ever tick Him off. It literally means, but a wholesome dread of displeasing Him. Right. You know, I thought it was very interesting in Romans chapter 8, which is a very pivotal chapter from Romans 5, 6, and 7. He says that those who live their walk out through the body of flesh cannot please God. And one of the reasons is that your flesh is too acceptable to the wrong kind of fear. Yeah. It's too acceptable to vanity thinking without having actual proof of what's being said. Now, this particular reverential fear, I love what my Strong's Advanced Concordance actually brought out. That which influences the disposition an attitude of those of whose circumstances are guided by a trust in God. Ooh, I like that. Then one's emotions controlling his decisions in unfavorable circumstances and with unfavorable people. Do you want me to read that again to you? Man, when that sunk in and I started looking at all the scriptures throughout the New Testament about this fear that has to be rightly divided in the word of truth, boy, I got a peace. I got a peace over Hillary. I got a peace over Trump. I got a peace over everything because I know that God is still at work within my heart. I haven't lost my position of the authority that the kingdom of God has invested in me. I have a position of strength. I have a position of praying. I'll tell you what, the natural world and the spiritual world cannot overcome the other, because God put it in His word that the church He is building cannot be overcome by the power of the gates of death.
Amen.
My kingdom is unshakable, thank you.
Amen.
Because I am of a theocracy, not a democracy. God's in charge of my kingdom.
Yeah.
Nobody else has to be voted in there. Right. And if that was the case, we better really be fearful of who's going to take place up there in heaven. We don't have to worry about that.
That's right.
Hallelujah. But I want to read it to you again. A reverential fear. A wholesome dread of displeasing God. That which influenced the disposition and attitude of whose circumstances are guided. Watch this. Whose circumstances, get this, are guided by a trust in God, then one's emotions controlling his decisions in unfavorable circumstances. Boy, when I caught that, then I understood the meanings of this word fear in their text. Hallelujah. Especially this one, fear to whom fear is due. My fear is due him, not man. That's part of the renewing of our thinking. People, when did you ever get a promise that the right person would come along other than Jesus to make everything on this planet perfect? You know what you're living? You're living non-reality. The only thing that God's Word does is it puts us in the position to stabilize us so that we can reach out and bring others into the kingdom of God. And that was one of the arguments that Caiaphas had with Jesus. Because he never seemed to really care about government structure when he walked on the earth because he was too busy promoting his kingdom. And matter of fact, you guys remember when I was reading you that article, those findings of the out of the Vatican where Caiaphas was given his reasoning why Jesus had to be put away? Is because one of the things is he didn't seem to really care who was in charge of their government. He didn't really speak against Roman rule.
Right.
Matter of fact, it says that when he spoke, it seemed like he was in favor of Roman rule. Pilate figured Jesus out real quick and said, "Hey, this guy sees what we see in these Jews. They're hypocrites." They're supposed to represent the righteousness of the kingdom of God, and yet they make twice the. They say they travel vast lands and vast territory to make twice the son of hell they are, because they have a zeal for God. Oh, we're on fire for God, but not according to knowledge. You know, you can be a believer that's on fire for God and be as disbrained as dits can be. Zeal don't mean anything to me. It's the fruit of the one that displays the zeal. That means more to me than anything else. Because anybody can say they love God. But do they show the love of God? Now, I want to read that again. That which influences the disposition and attitude of whose circumstances are guided by trust in God, then one's emotions controlling his decisions in unfavorable circumstances and with unfavorable people. I tell you people, I'm going to tell you right now, I indict myself on that. I've done it many times. I'm not the exemption to the rule here in this building. Some of you will go, "Yeah, amen. It's about time you admitted." Because all of us do it. I don't care who we are. We all do it. We're in the same boat together. Now, my shins are being kicked right now. So is yours. Right? A comprehensive phrase. This is what one of my Greek books brought out. I thought was just tremendous. The comprehensive phrase of reverential fear of God, this is what they wrote about that, will inspire a constant carefulness in dealing with others in this kind of fear. Do you want me to say that again? When you have the right kind of fear working in your heart, this is what it will do to you. It will inspire the inside of you a constant carefulness in dealing with others in this kind of fear. Did you guys get this? So sometimes we have to be careful how we react to things that cause the wrong kind of fear to get up into us. We have to have a confident trust that what God has put in us will keep us from the wrong kind of fear. Now, has God ever used the wrong kind of fear? So that's what somebody asked me. Well, has God ever used the wrong kind of fear? And I said, well, I don't really recollect anything in Scripture where he would do that. And so they took me to Acts chapter 5. So let's go to Acts chapter 5. And he quoted this to me. And as he quoted to me, I went, oh my gosh. It kind of caught me off guard. Acts chapter 5, verse 11. Acts 5:11. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Now this verse really caught me off guard because it was talking about Ananias and Sapphira. And how many of you know the book of Acts means the Acts of the Holy Spirit? It was the inception of the church and as it began to move forward and grow. Well, as I'm reading, I said, wow, it does say that fear came upon all of the camp. Now, is this the wrong kind of fear? And the Lord spoke and said, it's the right kind of fear. Because there had to be an example set for the whole church. And I said, what example is that? You cannot lie to the Holy Ghost. And he said, I set that standard for the whole church to find it. But the right kind of fear was in their heart. They begin to respect God by following the Holy Spirit. And so I believe that the reason that that kind of fear is mentioned is because that is the fear that affected the whole camp, the whole church. Because God was establishing, not through a wrong fear, but a right kind of fear. Are you guys with me? And so there's a fear of respecting God that God establishes in the church. But the world doesn't understand this kind of fear because they're not connected to God. That's what stabilizes you and me no matter what goes on around us. It doesn't mean that we need to be victims of those who don't do the right things. God has discernment for us to do that. But it doesn't mean that we also need to be victims of the wrong kind of fear just because of their actions. We can't control people. You know, and this one brother, I said, well, then what am I supposed to do about this? And he says, well, it's just for your information so that you have discernment. People, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to look at the bigger picture, look at the bigger picture. What did God do for our dispensation? He calls us ambassadors from another kingdom. That's where we're from. And as long as we're here and we're His ambassadors, you know what we're called? I'm going to close on this. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm going to tell you what we're called. Like I said, I've been studying end time events and everything and looking at the judgments of God and everything. And God spoke this to me to correct me on what I accepted in another man's teaching. And then it fit in with where I'm going to come from. But in 2 Thessalonians, this is after 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, excuse me about that. Chapter 2. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. That's a quote out of 1 John. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now notice what he says here. Only he who now restrains will do so. This is what most of your end time teachers are saying about this particular verse. It is referring to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was not called to restrain anything. He's called a revealer. And what he does as he reveals truth to the body of Christ, for the body of Christ to do their job at being a preserver of their place on planet Earth. The restrainer there is a direct reference to the believer, the church.
Yes.
And he is going to restrain that man and restrain the kingdom of darkness until he is removed. And then the Antichrist can come in. But the spirit of the Antichrist is already at work. And people don't recognize where he's at work. Now, if there was a pentagram and somebody came into this sanctuary right now while I'm preaching and drew a pentagram on the ground and got down and started worshiping that pentagram, how many of you know that we'd have 100% participation that this guy is in error?
Yeah.
If you didn't have that revelation, something wrong with you. That is not how Satan comes. He comes as an angel of light, like he did back in Genesis. He comes in it cloaked in deception. And so what he'll do is he'll not come in a manner in which it's very identifiable of what his work is. But he comes in a manner that you cannot discern him. Amen? And so I'm beginning to realize that I now am starting to really see clearly the deceptiveness of the wisdom of Satan. And that's what Jesus quoted to me when he had that visitation of him in the park. He said, be as wise as a serpent. Meaning knowing how he operates as an angel of light. And it finally dawned on me, I got news for you, Mr. Religious Person. You're not going to come to me cloaked in a form of religion and expect me to buy into that. And that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to buy into the harlot system that'll go to bed with anything, is providing it just leads you away from Jesus.
Right.
I'm not speaking against other denominations. I'm just validating some truth that they got to be careful of what they believe. Because Satan can cloak himself in light. And yet underneath it's death. And so I got news for you people. No matter what goes on in this election or anything else, I'll tell you what, it hasn't removed the church from its ability to activate salvation and to pray for our church, to pray for our country, to pray for our land. Are you following me? We're still in that place that Jesus has put us in spite of them. Are you following me? They're not the decision of factors of my fear. My fear is decided upon the fear that God wants me to have concerning him. We have a good future ahead of us. We have a good hope ahead of us. We have a right to families. We have a right to work. We have a right to success. We have a right to retirement. We have a right to everything. And hallelujah, we as the church of God are in a position that we can fulfill what God told us to fulfill until he takes us out of here. And he hasn't taken us out of here. We're still here. If you don't believe me, go ahead and bend down and touch the ground. We're still here. Hallelujah. It's when you wake up and there's no ground under you. That's when to worry. So you guys get something here today. Praise God. Praise God. This is not only a word of knowledge, but a word of wisdom. We don't have to fear. Hallelujah. We can go on in life, and it doesn't mean we're exempt to the tragedies of life, but though you go through the fire, you won't be burned. Though you go through the waters, they'll not overtake you. Be of good cheer. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. You have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Now, in order for our world to fall, Jesus would have to fall. And he ain't gonna fall.
Amen.
He's strong. Stand up, everybody. We're going home in victory.
Amen.
Amen. We're going home in victory. We're going home in victory. We don't have to fear.
Right.
And don't cloak it in discernment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but everyone in this building, I got news for you. You know what the Bible says about you? It says God is your rear guard.
Yes.
You know what that means? He's behind you for sneak attacks. That's what that means.
That's what the Jews viewed that as meaning. It means that you're walking down the road of time and God's your rear guard. Now, I like that. Amen. Well, let God be your rear guard. I like that. God's my rear guard. Woo! You don't want to get caught off? If I get caught off, God will take care of that thing for me. Praise God. It don't mean that I don't do what is needful to do. You follow what I'm saying? It's still my responsibility to do the right thing, walk in righteousness, amen. But I'll tell you what, you're better off walking in the righteousness that God has given you than try to do things in order to get favor for God. If you walk in His righteousness, you got favor with Him. Hallelujah. He promises you that. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody quoted that scripture, or I quoted it to them, and finally the Lord gave me a check and said, you go back and read that. It says, in the latter times, men's heart will fail them for fear. So I went back and I looked that up in the text, and I went, uh-oh. Uh-oh. And that verse is found in tribulation.
Yeah.
It's not found during our dispensation. It's an acknowledgement that men's heart will fear, will fail them for fear of what's coming on them, and that's during tribulation. That's not where we belong. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Father, when we leave here, we can have an assurance in our heart that yes, we can have the kingdom of God in a discerning manner. But Father, not through the wrong kind of fear, but the right kind of fear. Father, if I'm going to fear anything, I need to have this one thing in thought. I have a dread not pleasing you. I want to please you, and I know that the only way that I can is to follow the Holy Spirit. And what He reveals to me to walk in, the choices that I make. Father, because my responsibility up until you take the church is to be the preservative of the earth. No matter what kind of things are going on in elections, Father, my heart does not have to fail me for any kind of fear, because my fear is in God. And I want to vote and I want to pray the right kind of prayer and the right vote to make sure that what I know as to be truth will be a comfort to me. And Father, I thank you for this ability to be able to really trust and rely upon your kingdom in these trying times. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Now, before we just shut down, if there's anybody here that would like to receive Jesus as their personal Savior, you're welcome to come forward. We'd love to pray with you. We won't do anything to intimidate you or make you feel intimidated. If you've never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we as a church, we do believe in two forms of Spirit and filling. And one is the new birth and the other one is the baptism. And if you've never been baptized with that heavenly language, well, I want to encourage you to do it. We also are sending out our newsletter, and I'm talking on the Holy Spirit. This next letter will be very important. It's going to really open up a lot of eyes. But the Lord told me to do it, and it's about 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's going to hit a lot of wrong theology there. But the one after that I'm doing, the Lord told me, has the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was speaking of ceased. I'm going to cover that in the next letter. So I think it'll be real informative to people. If you can, if you're not on our list to get that newsletter, please get on our list to get the newsletter, because it's very, very helpful and informative for you. Praise God. We're sending that newsletter all over as new people are calling in, getting us off our program, off the website and everything. They're calling in. They got a Bible study going now in Arkansas, gathering people around by His Word. Praise God. Isn't that cool? And just sharing the stuff we're sharing. So we'll get out there. We'll get out on the housetops, man. Get our word out there. And they're thrilled about it. Praise God. Thrilled about the revelation of the communion table. Praise God. And so we're excited about that. Okay. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. And I thank you as they go their way this afternoon. They'll come back tonight. We're going to have a good meeting in the Holy Ghost. And Father, may they be blessed today. May they be protected going home in Jesus' name. Amen.